stealing lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes countries lie to your faith. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. The show is called Rock the Boat, and it is aired right here on UCY.TV. And it is the 29th of September of 2016, and I'm pleased to say things just keep getting weirder. So that's a good sign. That means these sociopaths, psychopaths, are finally showing all their cards, and the rest of the world, who hasn't been able to see it so far, is rapidly getting the hint that something ain't quite right. So I just want to start right here. I want to talk about Michael Schmidt for a little bit again, throw a video in there, but this kills me, you know. I saw a thing that it's hotter now than ever. Just keeps getting freaking hotter. Look out. And so I just look at the records here for today. The record for this day was not 2015 or 2016 or 2012 or any of those things. It was actually way back in 1885, and it was 27.2 degrees Celsius. You guys will have to figure that out in America, and I think it's 70-some degrees or whatever. And the record low was not way back in the 1600s or the 1700s or the 18 or the 1900s. The actual record low temperature was right in the middle of the global warming crisis, and the record low temperature for this day was in the year 2000, and it was 2.7 degrees. So that's about 38, 39 degrees Fahrenheit, somewhere in there. So the cold was in 2000, in the middle of the, oh my God, the world's burning up. And the record high was way back in 1885. So, you know, sooner or later, these greenies got to get their act together. They're used up now. They're absolutely no importance to anybody anymore. You've been suckered. They used you. And now they're going to throw you away because you're not important. You were used to destroy our nations, basically, to help run out our industries because, oh my God, we can't have industry because, well, it creates carbon emissions and that's bad for the planet. They never ask themselves where it is they're getting all their stuff from these days. It's still being manufactured. They can't seem to get their brain around the fact that China built 500 coal plants while we were shutting ours down. And as I said on the last show, they were going to vote that night in Vancouver on the Ling terminal, or the LNG terminal, liquid natural gas terminal in British Columbia. It was only days after the grandson of the Queen said that they were dedicating this huge piece of rainforest on the West Coast and put into a conservation area so that it could never be damaged and never be used because, well, hey, it's all about saving the planet, isn't it? And it was just a week, well, wasn't even a week before that, likely, that the mayor of Vancouver said that they were going to stop using natural gas as a fuel, which ran a big shudder through Vancouver because so many people use it to heat the schools, the homes, the factories, and office buildings. And but we can't hurt Mother Earth now, can we? So first we're getting rid of natural gas use on the West Coast, and the Queen's grandson comes in and dedicates a huge piece of rainforest, never to be touched by human hands. And oh boy, aren't the greenies happy. And the little Tinkerbell Trudeau that they hired, because, well, he's so damn green, they passed the Ling terminal, I call it Ling LNG, whatever, terminal, to ship natural gas to Asia. Because what we need it for? We ain't going to use it because we're busy saving the planet. But Asia, they're manufacturing all our goods, so they need cheap power. And we're not using it, so we'll sell it to you cheap in return for cheap trinkets. So, you know, hopefully the Greens get their brain in gear. It may not be possible for some of them. But I think people will start to get the game that's being played out here eventually. Now, back to Michael. Here's an announcement I need to make right away. My good friend Chris Duck, / Duck, was looking like he was going to the pokey for 30 days, 21 here in Canada, 30 equates to 21, and on good behavior, and we all know Duck is well behaved, so, but that has put a hell of a stress on the whole family and the job and everything else, so he cut a deal with them, and so he's out and about. Which is good to hear. I'm really happy that they came to an agreement and that it wasn't going to be a 21 straight day thing, which would have caused a whole lot of harm. Not that what they did was right, not that they had any authority to do what they did, but that's the legal system and it ain't law. But anyways, Michael, I mentioned, I think, I'm pretty sure I did anyways, that him and his wife just said, okay, enough is enough. You know, 22 years, hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt and expenses and being dragged in and out of courts and dragged in and out of jails for fingerprints and whatnot. They finally just figured out finally that There's no hope of accomplishing anything in this legal system. So they just packed it up. They said, we're done. And they called it a day. And they said, do you want to throw us in jail? Throw us in jail. All right. But we're not going to play this no more. And that took a lot to do something like that. And they did it. And I'm proud they did it. 20 plus years of this nonsense with no end in sight. You got to call it somewhere. So anyways, I'm just going to put this in the chat. This is a shortish video, 13 minutes of a conversation at the courthouse after they were done. And there's a couple other videos here on the sidebar. There's a video here from a lawyer who was representing not Michael and Lise, but some of the other members. And then there's another decent video here by Skip Taylor, who is the representative for Our Farm, Our Food, the OFOF, which was created when Michael, who is bound and determined as his wife, that nobody can tell anybody what they can eat or what they can't eat. Especially with all the GMOs and that around, which we know are poison. And here they are trying to offer people what you would guess, like, oh, is real food. So he actually does a pretty good job. They weren't going to let him because the OFOF is a corporation. That apparently only a corporation here or a corporation here in Canada has to be represented by a lawyer, because it's the lawyers that do the work on the corporation, right? You can't do anything without a lawyer here. The lawyers run the show, and the lawyers are their own society, and the lawyers use their own language, and that language, which is called a jargon language, is in jargon. The definition of that is language used to deceive and gain the upper hand. So that's why we know it said, woe unto you lawyers. And we need to woe the lawyers. We need to get rid of the lawyers because we don't need the lawyers in law. But they set this thing up. And so there's those other videos there. And there's also another video down here a little bit. It says Michael Schmidt, September 26, 2016, at the New Market Court. This is prior to them going into court, I think, the first day, which would have been Monday. And but the one I'm going to put in here is after their second day in the court on September the 27th. They decided that night that we're done. And they went into court. Explain the situation to the court, and somebody recorded this somewhere in the courthouse, and it would give you an idea of their resolve, and what their thought processes are after 20 plus years of being maliciously prosecuted, terrorized by paper. So I'll stick that in the chat. And you can go to the website. It's called Bovine, like in cow, B-O-V-I-N-E, where they have a lot of updates and that on. Or you can just punch in Michael Schmidt Facebook, and you will also get all the updates and that from there. It's a really sad, pathetic story on one side, but it's a really good story on the other side. This is a couple and their community who are determined. Michael came here from Germany as a young man to start farming. And he has all kinds, I think, degrees out of Germany on farming practices. And decided he would come here, and then he decided he would get into organic farming, which is what he was trained in. And basically, he's had the hammer on his back ever since, or the boot. But he's not a man that's going to lay down now or ever. And we should all be doing the same thing, okay? That's a long, long haul to be jerked around over milk. So that's the video there, and it's a pretty good explanation of some of what they've been through and what their thought process is. Now they're just going to wait. You know, will they arrest us? Will they not? But this was the 27th and the 28th. On the 28th, if I can find that picture, on the 28th, they were back down in Thornhill with the truck delivering the milk. And so hats off to them for their effort on that. And I do believe that the support is rising there, and people are starting to understand it's not about milk. It's about a monopoly. And that monopoly is the Milk Marketing Board, because it's all about money. The government, all governments are corporations, and you pay to play. And that's the game. And so where is that? Oh, here it is. I don't know if I put this in the other day or not. It doesn't matter. So they used to have a big blue, an old Bluebird bus that they used to run. They ran that thing for years, and then they got a new reefer truck, a cube truck, and then they put up their Food Freedom Declaration on the side of the truck. I got to sign that over in Waukegan, Ontario, when Michael, I think it was the day Michael was acquitted of the charge of stealing the cameras. The truck was at the courthouse. So this is just a picture of the stacks of paper, volumes and volumes and volumes of paperwork that they've had to deal with. And here is a nice picture of all of the people with their milk. So I'm going to, let's see. I have to just copy the link location. I don't know that I can copy the picture. Oh, I know where I can get it from. Just hang on a second. I may have already put this in the other day. I'm not sure. A lot of stuff going on, man. But people are waking up. I had a call. I mentioned this guy on the show another day. He stays at my mom. He's an electrician. He's from Hungary. And originally, and when he's up this neck of the woods working, he stays at my mom's place. And we've had many conversations before, and we had a pretty intense, we've had some intense conversations. But, you know, I hadn't seen him, and he called me up, want to go for a talk. So we had a very good talk for 3+ hours, and I was supposed to send him stuff. I've been busy and forgot to. So he called me up to remind me today, and you know, small world, eh? He says, you know, I was talking about our conversation and some of the stuff we talked about, and I brought up Michael Schmidt, and apparently this guy knows Michael Schmidt personally, right? And so it's a small world, but it's getting more and more difficult to say Michael Schmidt without people recognizing the name, and that's huge. So he's getting her done, and that's important. People too often, you know, they said they worry about what their neighbors are going to think. They worry about whether they're going to get in trouble. And I keep telling people, we're all in trouble. We are most definitely in trouble, and we got to quit thinking that we're not in trouble. There's the picture there on the bovine, so it'll be easier. Some people don't use Facebook. So we'll stick that in there. But I'm quite pleased with what's going on so far. We're going to, they're talking, one of the videos there that the lawyer for the other parties was saying that it would likely be a 3-month delay now while they get their act together again. down there at the courthouse. There's Duck, and he's free. Free like a bird. But then a duck is a bird, so he should be free. And don't be shooting at him. It's not duck season, I don't think. I hope it's not duck season. I'm just pleased as punch. The thing to me that's the big thing now is that, you know, Michael for 22 years has been trying to use the legal system to either, they tried to work within the legal system, and every time they got themselves into a position where they shouldn't have been bothered, they got bothered and raided and jailed and fingerprinted and mugshotted over and over and over again. So then they'd revamp things and get it into another place that would satisfy the legal position. And they'd come at him again. And it's not about the milk. It's about the milk marketing board. It's about the monopoly. And the monopoly doesn't want any freaking competition. It is as simple as that. So when you have a government who has the monopoly on milk, who doesn't want any competition, it's obvious it doesn't matter what Michael does or how much money he spends or how many days he spends in court or how many so-called representatives he talks to. The bottom line is they don't want any competition. I mean, in 2010, it was 19 charges that was against Michael. And I remember that day is like it happened yesterday. Humongous turnout at the court. And they even brought into the courthouse coolers full of raw milk and wine glasses. There's champagne glasses, wine glasses. And after that trial, which lasted a considerable amount of time, the judge found Michael not guilty on all 19 charges. And right there in the courtroom, not in the courtroom, but in the courthouse, right outside the courtroom. And this was a big, a big area. It was all open. There were skylights there. It was a very impressive spot. And when Michael came out of the courtroom with a not guilty verdict on all charges, or acquitted on all charges, the lids came off the coolers, the raw milk was poured right in the courthouse, the glasses were raised, and it was a good day. But again, it's not about the milk, it's about control. About monopoly. And I did find a document which I sent to Michael saying we can't let this stand. This is the government. And they got everybody involved in it. They got the health department. They got everybody involved in it. You know, it's toxic. It'll kill everybody. Raw milk. Ah! And here everybody was in Newmarket raising glasses in the courthouse, enjoying the sweet, sweet taste of real milk, actual food. And 100% organic, no GMO shit. And they appealed it and found him guilty on 13 of the 19 charges. So this has been a very long process. And they just finally said, enough is enough. We've been through the legal system. The legal system is not about justice. And it's not about justice. It's the opposite of justice. And it says so. It says that legal is the antithesis of law. Law, of course, being equitable, just, and moral. And legal is the opposite of all of those things. It is amoral, unjust, and non-equitable. It's So how do you play in that system? They created the system. They run the system. They created the language of the system. They provide the lawyers. They provide the prosecutors. They provide the judges. How are you supposed to deal in that system? You can't deal in that system. No, sure, every now and again somebody will win. But it's no different than a casino. If you lost every time everybody went into the casino, well, the casinos wouldn't survive. You got to let somebody win once in a while. So every now and again, normally a cop will win, or a judge who's been charged with some pathetic crime, not milk, something more nefarious, maybe like drug running or child pornography. They usually get off. Or somebody gets off for this ticket or that ticket, just to give a balance that it's a just system. Well, it's not. It's no different than the freaking casinos. Okay? The house runs the game and the deck is stacked. Simple as that. And that's what the legal system is. In the law system, everybody wins. They say, how can everybody win if somebody causes someone harm? Well, they get to offer restoration. And they get to undo the harm. And therefore, in most cases, everybody wins. Now, if you go and kill somebody, that's a different ballgame. But the whole thing in law is about restoring the one that has been harmed. The justice system doesn't give a shit if you harm. They're there to feed on you. It's like ticks on the dog's back. And they've been feeding on us. And they're just getting more and more and more hungry all the time. They're trying to kill the host. That would be us. And we need to shake these ticks off our backs. First, as Shakespeare said, kill all the lawyers. I'm sure he was talking metaphorically, but if you look up kill, it is basically take the power away. It doesn't mean to strike someone dead. It means to nullify it. And I suppose that could be strike it dead, but not necessarily physically, because it's a fiction. Okay? The lawyers, those who get their licenses, are acting as agents for their fictional system. So we just wipe the fiction away. And, you could look at it like I saw a cartoon, Bugs Bunny cartoon or something a long time ago, where the animator, Daffy Duck, somebody was getting uppity, and one of the characters was yapping off. And so the animator, who's in charge of this because he created the fiction, he just got out the eraser, and I think it was Daffy Duck, erased his beak away, and then he couldn't make any noise. And that's basically what we got to do here. We got to take out the erasers of reality and just rub it on these guys until they don't exist anymore. They have no real authority. And they certainly aren't dealing in law, and is most definitely fiction. So we need to just get rid of it. It's that simple. It was a fun fictional tale, this legal tale, but it's time to say goodbye to the fiction and get back to reality. And that reality has to be law. Law creates freedom. A law creates peace. And that's what we need. We need peace and freedom. We don't have peace, and we certainly don't have freedom. So we know we're not in law. So hopefully the next stages of what Michael and that go through here now, and we've talked about this for several years now, about getting back to law. Now, Michael wanted to continue down this legal road, hoping that they would come to their senses eventually. I mean, here's a government that fluoridates your water. Here's a government that's jamming all kinds of vaccines into your children's arms. Here's a government who runs the liquor and the tobacco industries. They don't have to put labels on GMO foods to tell you what you're eating. And that's a given that that's bad for your system. Yet, milk is a problem. So he tried and put up with all their nonsense, thinking that eventually they could sit down and come to a conclusion that would be equitable for those who wish to drink raw milk. Nobody's forcing anybody to drink raw milk, but there's a contingency of people out there that want the product. So he said, just legalize it. Well, that became clear when we were at the University of Guelph, and one of their experts pretty much explained it. There was no money in it for the government, so therefore they wouldn't be interested in legalizing it. What's going on here? I got a link here in the chat. I'm going to go click on it, see what's going on here. BBC, World, U.S., Canada. Is this the hockey game? What are we doing here? Uh-oh. What do we got? This could be interesting. Thanks. I didn't see who put that link in there. Desert Hawk. Thank you. What do we got here? Native American protest disrupts work on oil pipeline. Okay, let's run through this. A group. This is from the BBC. A group of Native Americans protesters halted work on a large oil pipeline in the U.S. state of North Dakota. Construction was set to begin this month on the Dakota pipeline, which is similar in length and to the contested Keystone XL pipeline. The developers had filed a lawsuit in federal court against the protesters seeking restraining orders. 16 members of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe have been arrested. Between 200 and 400 people have gathered in total, some on horseback, others beating drums. Among those arrested was David Archibald II, the leader of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, who was released after a day in custody. The 3.7 billion Dakota Access Pipeline, if completed, will cross the states of North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Illinois. The pipeline will transport 570,000 barrels of crude oil a day, stretching 1,172 miles. It was just 7 miles short of the planned Keystone Pipeline, which faced years of protests and a presidential review before it was scrapped. The new pipeline will also span land dotted with sacred North Native American sites between Cannonball and Heart Rivers, at its historic place of commerce. Where enemy tribes camp peacefully within sight of each other, said John Eagle Sr. in an interview with Indian Country Today in the area. Although the pipeline will not directly cross an environmentally protected area or federally reserved indigenous land under current proposal, it will pass within a half a mile of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and traverse 209 rivers and creeks. Protesters fear the pipeline could pollute water sources in their remote territory. They also argue they were not properly consulted before the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers approved the project in late July. The holding company, which owns Dakota, denies any wrongdoing. The Dakota Access Pipeline is committed to working with individual landowners to make the accommodations, minimize disruption, and achieve full restoration of impacted land, it says in a statement on their website. Well, That last sentence there is exactly the same sentence that they told the farmers up here when they were putting in the windmills. Same shit, different thing, but same stuff. They're working with individual landowners to make accommodations, minimize disruption, and to achieve full restoration of impacted land, it says in a statement. Well, that's a lie. It was written by lawyers, and it was written in such a way that they're not committed to working with individual owners. They don't give a shit about making accommodations except to get their way. Minimize disruption. Well, let's see. They've had people in there with dogs biting these native protesters, arresting them, beating them up. I guess you could call it minimizing disruption. And achieve full restoration of the impacted land. Not a chance. So this is just more of the same garbage. And how do they get this stuff through? Because your government is a corporation. Why are they arresting these natives? Why? Because they're in the way. Well, don't they have rights? No, they don't have any rights. You don't have any rights. You only have the rights that the government slash corporation gives you. And when somebody gives you rights, they can take them away. And if you get in their way, they can stomp you into the ground, which history shows continues to happen day after day all over the planet. You'll never, ever, ever see the force on the side of the protesters, because the force took an oath to the state, not the people. The politicians took an oath to the state, not the people. It's all corporate, and the people aren't included in it. They're included in the corporate as something to feed off of, because they too are fictions. And the state and the force and the so-called government, which are all corporate, do not recognize man or woman. They can't. Men and women are real. The person is a fiction. The state is a fiction. So they're dealing in paper. They're dealing in fiction. So the people have been reduced basically to the status of animals. That's why they can sick the dogs on you, show no remorse. That's why they can shoot some 12-year-old kid and show no remorse. Because they don't recognize you. You're real. They're living in the fictional world. The paper world. That's what I think got to Michael and his wife finally. And he even brought up paper terrorism to the court. Because that's what they've been. They've been terrorized. The people have always been terrorized. And where did the word terrorism originate from? France, when they were what? Terrorizing the people. So who are the terrorists? The state is the terrorist. The state's always been the terrorist. And people got to come to terms with that. Then we can get going in the right direction finally. It's not federal land. Because the land that they're talking about in Fed is paper land, not terra firma. The lawyers reinvented what land was. They came up with property, which is paper. And each of these things comes with a bundle of rights that they give you and they can take away from you, which are taken away rapidly now because what's not sustainable? Private property. Why? It's a form of social injustice. Why? Because if you own land, you never do own the land, but if you own property, which is an abstract concept made up by the lawyers, but you can buy and sell that abstract concept. So there is a possibility. Nothing. Your property is nothing more, really, than a stock certificate. That's why you hear in the media, you know, a family's home is their biggest investment that most families ever make, because that's exactly what it is. It's an investment. That investment can go up and it can go down. We've seen it go down. We've seen it go up, just like the stock market. But it's just a chunk of paper which gives you a bundle of rights to, they say, enjoy the property. But it comes with a bundle of rights. And anything that they give you, they can take away from you. This is our land. Move aside. But this is our land. Move aside. But this is our land. Well, have you ever looked up the definition of land in legal, or the definition of property in legal? These are abstract concepts. You may have purchased something you thought was a house and a piece of ground, but you didn't. You bought a chunk of paper that comes with a bundle of rights which can be taken away from you. So you can pay the taxes, you can pay the compound interest, but they can shove you off that land anytime they want. They created it, they own it. So, you know, we do need land ownership here, but real land, terra firma, not this abstract concept crap that people have been conned into. I mean, I even have the head of a real estate board here agreeing that the real estate industry is in fact fraudulent, because they're not selling you a house, they're not selling you any land, i.e. terra firma, or land as the regular definition of land, not the legal definition of land. And what is legal is a jargon language, and what's it used for? To deceive and gain an upper hand. So they can push these people off this land and put their pipeline through anytime they want. But they got to, you know, balance this somehow. That's just the way it is, folks. You don't own a damn thing, and you've been lied to since the day you were born. And that's a bitch to deal with, but that's a fact. And we need to deal with it. That's just the way it is. Now, I really try to stay away from politics as much as I can, because it makes me want to throw up, because none of it's real. You know, vote for me. Why? Well, because we're going to do this or we're going to do that. There we go. Liberals approve the controversial natural gas project on BC coast. That's what they said they were going to do on Tuesday night, and that's what they've done. Now, the Pacific Northwest LNG project, which would produce more than 5 million tons of carbon dioxide. Now, remember, we're going to have a nationwide carbon tax, because, damn it, we got to save the planet. So now we've 5 million tons of carbon dioxide a year has 190 legally binding conditions attached to the approval. Well, who the hell wrote the approval? The lawyers. And who are these lawyers? They're globalist lawyers. And what are they doing? They're helping their buddies make money. So the people go, well, at least there's 190 legally binding conditions attached to the approval. Not realizing those 190 binding conditions are there to appease you, the public. You can't even use the word public either, because that means everything's owned by the government. Whatever. The people. So, let's see. The federal government gave conditional approval. Catherine McKenna, Environment Minister, Natural Resources Minister Jim Carr, who I've seen in a lot of round table, who is definitely a 100% globalist, and Fisheries Minister Dominique LeBlanc traveled to Richmond, B.C. to announce their government's acceptance of what is expected to be one of the largest infrastructure investments in Canadian history. And it's all headed to China. But there are 190 legally binding conditions attached to the approval, McKenna said. This project was subject to a rigorous environmental assessment, and today's announcement reflects this commitment, she told a news conference. Well, I know people up in my neck of the woods that dug a pond on their property. You know, the thing you can enjoy, that abstract concept. And then end up in court for attempting to steal water or something. Meanwhile, Nestle, again, environmentally approved by the government, pays like, I didn't think they pay a penny a gallon for the stuff. But that's okay. But you damn slave, don't you dare try to gather water in a rain barrel or dig a pond for your animals in the field, because we'll get you. The Petronas-led $36 billion liquefied natural gas project on Lilu Island near Prince Rupert, that's a very sensitive neck of the woods too, would ship 19 million tons a year of liquefied gas to markets in Asia while pumping more than 5 million tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. That would make it one of the largest single greenhouse gas emitters in Canada, according to the Canadian Environmental Assessment Agency. But we have 190 legally binding conditions. But we still got to prove somehow. So let's see. Vancouver's not going to let the people use natural gas because of the carbon emissions. Now, they're already charging people in British Columbia a healthy carbon tax. But that's not good enough. You're going to pay the carbon tax, plus we're not going to use natural gas. So instead of that, we're going to build one of the largest emitters of carbon dioxide there is. But so it becomes one of the largest single green gas emitters in Canada, according to the Environment Assessment Agency. The government's conditional approval sets the table for an autumn of more crucial decisions on a national climate change plan and energy sector infrastructure. Excuse me. So I guess if we're going to pump 5 million tons of carbon dioxide while we produce this gas to send to China, obviously, we have to somehow reduce the amount of carbon dioxide. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, I think it's going to land on your ass, people. Because the government's conditional approval sets the table for an autumn of more crucial decisions on a national climate change plan and energy sector infrastructure, of which you're going to pay for, while China is enjoying the benefits of cheap natural gas. I mean, if we're not going to use it, what do we need it for? So we'll just ship it out of here. Of course, we're going to cause a great deal of carbon dioxide emissions, and we as Canadians have a responsibility to lower the natural gas emissions that come from this country. Well, if the industry's raising it on and the government's approving it, then we need to bring it down somehow. How are we going to neutralize this extra 5 million tons of carbon dioxide? Well, you're going to probably be forced out of your combustion engine car, for one, which they desperately intend and want to do, or you're going to pay a horrific carbon tax on your combustion car and anything else you use, any other energy that you use. So you're on the hook for it. You know, you're going to pay to build this thing, and you're going to pay... you're going to pay until you're so broke you don't know what to do, and then the government's going to bring you in the guaranteed income, which is right out of the United Nations, and then they got you. So we better get our act together here pretty quick. Low global oil prices and an increasing supply of natural gas have depressed international prices. See, I already told you about the low prices. I haven't read about it yet. The game's a little easy to understand. So we've got depressed natural gas, depressed oil, and who wants the oil and the gas? Why is it depressed? Because China wants it. They've already got, as Morris Strong said, the cheapest labor on the planet. Nobody can compete with that labor. What we need now is the cheapest energy. So we get you guys over there in the West to shut down your oil, your gas, and your coal. And then you'll ship it over here to feed the factories in China, which really has no environmental laws worth a damn. Now we get to make a whole shitload of money, and you get to pay a whole bunch of carbon tax. Isn't this cool? This is what good businessmen figure out. Or criminals, and that's what they are. But we're involved in the crime too, because we've never stood up and put our foot down anywhere. We never got up and said, this nation belongs to us, the people, not you freaking lawyers. And then if you call, you can't call a government agency and try to get a conversation going with them without very shortly into it, once they have a clue, you know what you're talking about, that they don't start this. Well, I think you need to seek legal advice. Well, you're the government. Ought you not be able to answer the question? Oh, no, we're not allowed to answer the question. It has to go through the legal department. Well, give me the legal department. No, that would be assisting you, and we can't assist you. The legal department only assists the government, i.e. the corporation. So you would have to go seek legal advice somewhere else. Well, let's see. You got the top lawyers in the country. Who the hell am I supposed to call for legal advice? You know, who said that? It was Carlin, I believe. The game's rigged. Okay? It's a casino. The deck's stacked. But it's a fictional deck. We're jerked around by this fictional game created by the lawyers. So we need to put the lawyers back in the game box and put it away. And don't let them suckers back out again. If we can ship it to China, how come we can't use it here? Well, it's bad for the environment. Well, isn't China part of the environment? Wasn't this a global problem we were supposed to be solving? Yeah, that was just a story we gave people to sucker them in. Anyways, let's see what else we got in here. A spokesman for Pacific Northwest said Monday that any decision to begin construction would still have to go to the company shareholders if Ottawa approved the plan. Well, we know it's going to get approved because China wants it. Nonetheless, the decision by Cabinet of Prime Minister Tinkerbell Trudeau signals the course of the new Liberal government will navigate among competing interests in the energy and environmental files. In other words, you've been sucked by the environmentalists and the environmental mechanism, the global save the planet mechanism, but it's always been about business taking control of all of the resources on the planet. So they're going to balance the energy and environmental files. Well, what did Rockefeller say? Something has to take the place of government because it's too hard to negotiate. The government is a corporation, but people believe it's a government. It's too damn much negotiating. So something's got to take the place of it, and business seems to be the obvious entity to do it. So the environmental files is just a lost leader to confuse people and run them astray, basically. Environmentalists and First Nations have denounced the Pacific Northwest LNG project due to the concerns over climate change and salmon habitat, while pro-development advocates, including the BC government of Christie, I'm a slut Clark, I shouldn't say that, should I? Globalist slut, Clark. Whore is a better word than slut, I think. Have called it a key economic driver for the country as a whole. Well, no. If we hadn't got rid of our factories, if we had continued to manufacture the needs of our peoples, then we would already have our economic driver in place. But that's not how the lawyers and the globalists operate. Even before the government said it was willing to trigger Tuesday, was pulling the trigger Tuesday, a group of Six Nations from Skeena Corridor issued a release saying the project does not meet the test for respecting indigenous rights and would be challenged in court. Do you think First Nations, can you get that, hon? If it's Enos Tom, I'll call him back. Or whoever it is, I'll call him back. In about 3 minutes. Anyways, do you think the Indians, do you think the native people, do you think they give a shit about you? Weren't they the ones, weren't you the guys they genocided? And sure, they told you that you have a say. You ain't got no say. That was just a game that was being played. Remember, the lawyers are involved in this. Anyways, really quickly here, providing a green light for this project this time will only lead to protracted litigation, which benefits no one, said the First Nations people, whose traditional lands include Lilu Island, where the project will be centered. Well, I guess the natives will be moving. Conservative interim leader Rona I'm a Bitch Ambrose said in Ottawa that Tinkerbell Trudeau had only one decision he could make on the project, and the Prime Minister now needs to champion the project to make help and make it a reality. Why? Why was there only one decision? Simple. He's in the Privy Council. Took an oath to who? You know, the Queen. Yes, and who's the Queen? The Crown and the Corporation. He does. He's the Prime Minister. He ain't the leader of the country. He's the Prime Minister of the Crown Corporation. And he does as he's frickin' well told. What does he know? He used to be a snowboard instructor. I mean, this is even worse than Obama, for crying out loud, but not really. It's the same nonsensical stuff. He needs to make this project important not only for British Columbia, but for all of Canadians, said Ambrose, citing the job creation and investment potential. McKenna will carry the Pacific Northwest decision into a meeting with her provincial and territorial counterparts next Monday in Montreal, where they are set to begin negotiations on a strategy for meeting Canada's international climate commitments. That's more money out of your pocket. Absolutely. Canada's pledge to reduce its emissions 30% from 2005 levels by 2030. Well, hey, wait a minute. This gas project is going to fire a whole bunch more in. How are we going to drop it? Simple. You're going to pay for it, and you're going to buy carbon offsets, and Al Gore is going to get rich, and you're going to get poor, and we better wake up, and we better stand up, and we better figure out once and for all, the legal system is a system. It's a game. It's a casino. We better wake up to it, because the casino, the house always wins. And we got to bring these casinos down before we're all bankrupted and laying on the street looking for our next scratch ticket, hoping to become a freaking millionaire. It's time we became men again, women again, got back to law, and took this thing down and put the people in their proper position. The people are the leaders. The land resources belong to the people, and this so-called government can just disappear, and we're going to help make that happen. Anyways, we're out of time. I want to thank everybody. I appreciate your time. Happy Chris. I'm fucking tonight. And Mike.
Selling lies and buying time. Killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water. Sick from air. Making money. They don't care. Censorship. Force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for their mom. They shoot. They kill. They massacre. Cocaine. They burn. The kids. No more things gone. Trees. Lie. To your face.
You are listening to UCY.